Hey there, Admissionado listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Stephen Black.
And I'm Cleo Handler. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Stephen, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
So I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies with an emphasis in film theory. And Cleo, why don't you tell everyone where you went to college? It's right off of 95 in a pretty dangerous area, I understand.
Ha ha ha, very funny. I went to Yale University, which was a beautiful, wonderful place to go to school. I felt completely safe all the time, and I studied psychology and theater studies, so I can even act it out for you if you want.
Very nice. So last week we talked about choosing your essay topic, and hopefully you learned the difference between good and bad topics, emerging with some great ideas of your own.
So now, hopefully you've chosen your topic. Awesome. One small problem is, how do you write a captivating, meaningful, emotionally resonant essay?
So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to employ what we call emotional narrative. That's writing a story with the intention of evoking strong feelings in the reader. It's not only telling your story, but telling it in such a way that invokes happiness, sadness, anger, just feelings that you're going through. You want to instill those feelings in the reader. So Cleo, why don't you take us through the five components of emotional narrative?
Okay, so first we're just going to summarize, you know, just list the five components, and then we're going to dive into each one more fully. But first of all, we have number one, a strong introduction. Number two, story arc. Number three, lots of detail. Number four, passion, passion, passion. And number five, a sense of perspective or growth.
Great. So we're not going to get to all of these today. We're just going to give you about half of them. And we're going to start off with strong introduction. What better place to start? This is just so important because, I mean, this is the opening of your essay. This is the first impression that you're making. And, you know, first impressions are pretty important.
Absolutely. Sometimes you hear of something called the hook, which is basically a topic sentence, two sentences that are meant to catch your reader and engage them right from the start. That's really, really important here. Humor is a good thing. Be funny if you can. Be surprising. Be inventive. Anything that really gets their attention from the very beginning is amazing. You never want to be dull or predictable here. And it's different from the high school thesis structure that you sometimes learn about, the funnel structure where you start really broad and you eventually get narrow until you reach your thesis. You don't want to do that here. You want to just jump right in with something exciting and evocative and makes the reader feel like he or she is there with you from the start.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important because when you think about it, the admissions committee is going to be giving your application an initial read. And that read is going to take 5 to 10 minutes, and that's including the whole thing. And so they're just going to give your essay a quick glance. And when you use tactics like Cleo's talking about, like a hook sentence or two, and you know, not being dull and predictable, because most of the essays they're reading are dull and predictable, I mean, you can make an impression straight away. And you know, the metaphor we'd like to draw here is that a great intro, it's like a good appetizer, right? It's sort of filling, but it leaves you wanting more. It leaves you wanting the main course. And so it gives a little intro, gives a little taste, gives a little excitement, and then it leaves you wanting to read the rest of the essay.
Right. I think that's a great way to think about it. If this is your appetizer, you want it to be full of spice and personality.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a good way to do that is, you know, to start with narrative, is to start with telling a story. You know, most people make the mistake of restating the question You know, if it says, what was your biggest achievement? And then their first sentence is, my biggest achievement was, and I mean, that's just boring. Start with a narrative. Act like, you know, you're telling a story to someone. And the other thing is, don't get stuck on your first draft. Like, write a few of these, see what works best. A lot of people get hung up on, they write something and they just think it's so precious and amazing and they don't want to part with it. No, I mean, that's part of writing is rewriting, and you want to get this right. And so,
Right.
yeah, I Cleo, tell us, I mean, just tell us about some of your ideas, of how to get this intro right. I mean, what would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I basically agree with everything you're saying. I think sometimes in writing you hear this phrase, you have to kill your darlings, which means, to just scrap sentences that you love if they're not helping or if they're not like, if they're detracting from the overall power of the paragraph or the clarity of the story. You sometimes have to scrap these sentences that you've been working on that you think are so great, these images you've come up with. You have to be really willing to be flexible here and to just start over, make it better, make it better, make it better. And the last thing I'd say is you can think of it as transforming it from two-dimensional to three-dimensional. Whenever possible, you want to try to make your essay come to life with sensory images, with smells, sights, sounds, anything that makes the reader feel like they're he or she is there with you. That can really help make it jump off the page and seem like an exciting animated tale. Maybe we should give you guys some examples of what we're saying so it's not so theoretical.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good point. And let's start off with a bad example of an intro that's, subpar and not so great. And then we'll get to a good example of something that works and uses the points that we're talking about, of emotional narrative. So here's the bad intro, and let's see if you can see why. Last summer, I taught golf to inner city youth in East LA. I did this 3 days a week for 2 hours a day. I had about 10 students. In addition to teaching them golf, I was teaching them life skills and connecting with them on a deeper level. It was truly an amazing experience. So what's wrong with that?
I mean, besides the incredible dramatic interpretation, I would say that it's a bit boring. It's very straight ahead. The student doesn't seem to show any of this emotion or to really even be that excited about it. He just tells us, "This is what happened. It was so great."
Yeah, I mean, it's a point, that Cleo makes quite often, which is show, don't tell, and this is falling victim of the opposite. It's telling. It's saying it was truly an amazing experience. I connected with them on a deeper level, and it's like, okay, thanks for telling me that. I don't believe you because you haven't shown me that that's the case. And I think,
Right.
there's something wrong with that, and you really, you can't bank on writing like that.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to hear an example of a great introduction?
I would love to hear one.
Drum roll, please. Okay, here we go. Thank you. The last thing I see is the head of a 9-iron. Whack! It hits me in the face and I fall to the ground. My eyes flutter open. The innocent faces of the kids surround me with expressions of concern. Miss Handler, are you okay? At that moment, I'm more than okay. Teaching inner city youth how to play golf is easy. Truly connecting with them is hard and ultimately more meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, aside from your dramatic interpretation, which was far superior, I think
Thank you.
that works better. It's starting with a narrative. It's taking us into the same scenario as we heard in the bad intro, and it's showing us it's giving us a taste of a scene, something that happens. When you describe the golf club, hits you in the face, and next thing you're on the ground. The fact that these kids are surrounding you with expressions of concern, that right there has told me you've connected with them on a deeper level, and that's awesome. I mean, you're showing me it rather than just telling me it, through the narrative. And then I'm
Right.
reading between the lines and seeing, what the what what the uh what really is going on, and that's great.
Right. And also it seems silly, but even things like whack and these like sudden exclamations really help vary the sentence structure and make it all more intense. And that's a really important thing to notice is that none of these sentences start the same way. It's not like I did blank, I did blank. It's the last thing I see is the head of a 9-iron. Whack, it hits me in the face, I fall to the ground, my eyes flutter open. It's very fluid. The writer clearly has a sense of ease with his words, and I think that that's really important. It shouldn't feel labored and academic. It should feel exciting and
Yeah,
accessible.
exactly. And this is just, returning to a point that Cleo made earlier. It's like you're not writing your typical funnel essay, for English class in school. This is not supposed to be boring. I mean, you can toss some of those lessons out the window. I mean, you're trying to engage human emotions here. The AdCom are made up of humans. And something like this, I think, really evokes some emotions and some feelings, and that's great.
Right. Absolutely. So I think we should move on to our next bullet point, which is story arc. So the first thing I would say about this is that obviously it's essential to have a story arc in your application essay, because people love a journey. You want to take the admissions committee on a journey with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Something that shows that you've learned as a result of your experience, you've changed. Maybe you've learned something about yourself or about the world. You've gone from point A to point B.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. It's like when you go to a movie or when you're reading a book, if it doesn't have a story arc, you're gonna get frustrated. You want a beginning, a middle, and an end. And when you read an essay, which could be just 500 words, you want that same story arc. You want change. Story arc is the same as change. And it's so important because we need evidence of growth and maturity over the course of an essay. We need to see that you've changed, that you're a different person from when the essay started to when it ended. You need to take us on that journey.
Right, exactly. And you can try to tell it like a movie. This is a tip I use sometimes for students who are struggling with this. Try reading your story out loud to a friend and watch them and see when they're the most engaged, when they're bored, when they're asking questions and want to know more. It should really feel cinematic almost. It should be detailed, vivid, sensory. You can close your eyes and try to picture it as someone else reads the topic sentence to you and make sure that you can really see it.
Yeah, that's a great point because and that's sort of at the core of emotional narrative is sort of this writing that evokes visual ideas that you can close your eyes and picture it. And that's sort of in the micro sense, in the sense of, from sentence to sentence, that's how it should be. But in the sort of larger sense, when we're talking about story arc, the growth that occurs over the course of an essay, this story arc. It can basically be anything. It can be a realization. It can be an emotional, mental, physical change. Like, as long as just whatever it is, as long as you take us on that journey. I mean, it could be about how you overcame an illness. I mean, that's like a physical thing. It could be about how, you dealt with a failure or the loss of a best friend that you guys were friends forever, and then suddenly something happened and you weren't anymore. But the ultimate thing that you want to end with is it needs there needs to be positive growth, positive change. The story arc needs to end on a positive note because this is an indication of maturity. I mean, this is what AdComs want to see. They want to see that you're not just a kid anymore. And if you can write an essay that has visual writing that evokes those visual ideas, like Cleo said, and then ultimately ends with some sort of positive change in the story arc, I mean, you're golden. That's important.
Right. And even if it's not all good, Like Stephen said, if you wrote that essay about losing your best friend, I'm sure there's a lot of pain in there and a lot of regret, but you do want to ultimately end on something positive. But I just mean that the more layered and the more complex it is, the better often. It doesn't have to be completely black and white.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. So let's get into the example in this case, and
Great.
we'll just talk about why it works. So Cleo, give us the one of the common app essay prompts.
Okay, so here's one that comes up a lot. Recount an incident or time when you experienced failure. How did it affect you, and what lessons did you learn? Stephen?
So this is, I mean, this is something we see all the time. This is common in, not only college applications but graduate school applications as well. And they're really not, they're looking for an essay that really digs into a real failure, not just a success that you're disguising as failure, but a real failure. And so you need an essay with a story arc. You need to set up the problem, a time when, things, you didn't know things would go wrong. That's the beginning, right? That's in the movie. That's that in the movie version of this, that would be when the character just thinks everything is okay in his or her normal world. Then you have the failure. That's the middle of the essay. What happened and how you dealt with it. This is talking, recounting an incident when you experience failure, and you need to get into that. And then number three is what you learned and how it will impact your future. That's the end. That's the third part. So you have the beginning, middle, and an end. And Cleo, I mean, what are your thoughts on structuring an essay like that?
I mean, I think you really hit the nail on the head there. I just wanted to add one thing, which you hinted at, which is that it should really be a real failure. This is not the time to say, like, I'm just so great and that can be a struggle for me because you're not fooling anyone there. They read a million of these essays every day. They'll see those thinly veiled self-indulgences. and really you'll have more to write about and a far more interesting essay, and you'll seem like you're a stronger person if you write about something that was truly difficult that you truly did learn from. So that's really the only thing I have to add there.
Yeah, I mean, it also shows self-deprecation shows maturity. The ability to criticize yourself shows that you're mature. If you're unable to even say what's wrong with you and like an actual failure, then you're probably a pretty immature person.
Right, exactly. Great. So, shall we move on to the third bullet point for today?
Sure, and this is where we're going to end for the day. We're going to do the next two on another episode. So the third point is lots of detail. And that's super important and something Cleo's kind of already hinting at with talking about visual writing. So Cleo, what do you have to say about adding lots of detail in your emotional narrative?
Right. Okay. Well, I know it can sound kind of obvious if you're writing an essay, you want to have details, but it's actually far more important and far more often overlooked than one would expect. You want to make it come to life as much as possible. So, like we said, if you're writing an essay about, I don't know, being at a carnival and your first time riding a roller coaster and being afraid, you don't just tell the people that you're afraid and it was so tall and it was so scary. You might want to really walk them through it and say how the wind was whipping your hair and the car kept going higher and higher and higher and you could feel the funnel cake turning in your stomach or whatever it is. You want to really, really give them some juicy details that evoke real emotion. And whenever possible, you want to avoid generalities and filler adjectives, filler words. You don't have to say, like, I believe that something something, because this is your essay, so we know that you believe it. And you just want to, whenever you're choosing between like a broad statement, summing up your opinion of life, or like a very specific thing that is particular to you and more interesting, you want to go for that one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the reason for that is because it's more engaging for the reader, and the useless sort of filler adjectives and words, they don't help your cause. but the good descriptive words, they really help give us like a mental picture. They put you, I mean, I know when Cleo was describing the carnival, I mean, just a quick sentence or two, in my mind, that put me right there. I felt I was experiencing that, and I mean, that's what you want when you're writing an essay. And when you write, descriptive adjectives, you want to write them so that they evoke emotion. I mean, you want to talk about like the brutal defeat, the unexpected rematch, the thrilling victory. I mean, these are things that help along these nouns that they come before and can really help elevate an essay in terms of giving it, some good detail.
Right. And like Stephen said, with the bad detail versus good detail, I think you can use this as a metric for yourself, is that bad detail is anything that makes sentences more confusing without adding substance. So you really are striving for simplicity and clarity here above all else, maybe besides like emotional power, that's also very important. But you don't want to just add four adjectives onto something just because you think it sounds impressive, because it's usually just going to be more confusing and bloated seeming without having that much real substance.
Yeah, speaking of writing that's bloated and doesn't have much substance, let's get to the bad detail versus good
Awesome.
detail. So yeah, so the first this bad detail, which is gonna it's gonna violate all the advice that we just gave you, and you're gonna see exactly why. So here we go with another dramatic interpretation from the famous actor Stephen Black. Here we go. I looked up at the sky. It was cerulean blue with faint wisps of cotton white clouds. An imposing jet plane flew miles above me, its gray contrails dividing the atmosphere in twain.
Twain. No one
So,
says Twain.
I mean, aside from being completely pretentious, what's wrong with that?
I mean, it seems very academic, and like the kid is clearly trying to sound impressive, but it really doesn't have a lot of substance there. I don't know what the point of his essay is. I don't sense any sort of emotional connection besides just like natural awe at the sky, which doesn't tell me anything about the kid. So I would say that it's impersonal and vague.
Yeah, it's like it's details that have nothing to do with the writer. I mean, okay,
Right.
except showing that the writer is observant in noting the cerulean blue sky and the imposing jet plane and the gray contrails. I mean, this is something we see
Right.
in essays all the time. I mean, it's overwritten. It doesn't tell about, the person. So this is bad detail because it's just so impersonal, like you said, and it's not telling me anything about the author. It's it, except that the author is completely pretentious and thinks that, he's an amazing writer, and that's a negative. I mean, you can have amazing writing, but as long as amazing writing reveals something about you, that's the goal, and that's the goal with detail. So, why don't you get
Exactly.
into the example of good detail?
Whew, the pressure's on. Okay, let me see if I can pull it off. I looked up at the sky. The deep blue reminded me of the pool, and I longed to suit up and start racing. I missed the sharp scent of chlorine and the feeling of gliding through the cool water. The swim season was about to begin, the season that would change everything. Dot, dot, dot.
So I think it's starting with the same image, right? Both the bad detail and the good detail are someone looking up at the sky. The first one is the person musing about, what the sky is and splitting it in twain and whatever. And this is looking up at the sky and it's evoking something personal. So then it gets into personal details. The deep blue reminded me of the pool, the sharp scent of chlorine, the feeling of gliding through the cool water. Those are all things the author has experienced, and so the author is bringing us into the setting, which is good detail.
Right. And clearly it's personal and it's leading towards something. It's setting up the essay, you know, and it's engaging. I want to know why the season changes everything. And it this is an intro that feels like it's going somewhere. It has a sense of forward motion, and that's what you want to have in yours as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the, you know, the start of a great essay, and it's the good detail is a big component of emotional narrative. So Cleo,
Right.
now that we've gone through the first three, why don't you just give a quick recap for our listeners of the first three components of emotional narrative?
Sure. And these are all things that kind of apply to your intro. And I mean the rest of the essay as well, but you can really set them up in your introduction. And next week we're going to dive into a few more that apply more to the essay as a whole. So today, just to review, we've covered the first three components of emotional narrative. Number one, a strong introduction, a hook. Number two, a story arc. And number three, lots and lots of detail.
So, but just remember that this is only the beginning. These three components, they're the skeletal structure of emotional narrative. You know, next week we're going to get into the muscular structure of emotional narrative, and we'll discuss the two more components that will truly bring your essay to life, and those are passion, 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 and perspective and growth.
So that's about it for today. We want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
And please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.